Welcome to Cafe Grit. My name is Bethann Campbell, and I am the author of Where the Hell Is My Bacon? A book about a corporate team that triumphed over shitty leadership with the help of fried pork. I open Cafe Grit as a place where you can join me in figuring out how to channel your grit and find your voice in the world, whatever that means for you. This is the place to go when you've got the hankering for purpose, the taste for fulfillment, and you're tired of living the rat race. Thanks for stopping in. Cafe Grit is now open for service. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cafe Grit. I'm your host, Bethann Campbell. This is the place to go when you've got a hankering for purpose, a taste for fulfillment, and you're tired of living the rat race. I am contemplating, I'm in quiet contemplation about the direction to go with this podcast, because I started this when I was heavy in corporate and working, those of you who've worked in corporate and consulting know it can be very overwhelming. It's chaotic, sometimes toxic. And if you listen to some of my earlier episodes, a few of my not so earlier episodes, I was on a bit of a rant about the corporate world, and I'll never stop doing that. But now that I've been out of the corporate world for now, almost 7 months, it's just, I'm so far removed from it that I struggle with what's the direction to go here, because I know a lot of people still need the calling out of the bullshit and the shitty leaders and trying to help people navigate the corporate chaos. But I also, again, because I'm not in it anymore, I just feel like I want to spin the whole grit theme a little bit differently. So I may be steering myself away from some of the corporate ranting stuff and getting into just some more fun stuff. Like today, I'm going to talk today about childhood grit in just a moment. But before that, I am so excited because I got some new blankets today. I got some new comforters and some new duvet covers, or duvet covers, depending on where you're from. I call them duvet covers. And I know, why am I so excited about bedding? Well, here's the thing. All the strange things that we end up following on social media, now that we have social media, and many of us, myself included, do some doom scrolling now and then, every day, every hour. But I follow this person on Instagram. I'm so sorry. I don't know what their profile ID is, but if I think about it, I'll put it in the show notes. But anyways, it's a woman who lives with her partner in, I apologize to my Norwegian sisters and brothers, I hope that I'm not slaughtering these names, but is a Svalbard, S-V-A-L-B-A-R-D, Norway. And it is an island, and I believe it is the most northernmost, or maybe one of the most northernmost towns. It is a visa-free place, and it's cold, of course, most of the year. But anyway, long story short, it came up on my feed, and I'm just fascinated about this lifestyle. Not that I would ever want to live someplace that cold all the time, but one of the things that this woman demonstrated one day was she talks a lot about how her house is set up in this town. And she was showing how she made her bed. And she said, in Scandinavian countries, they don't use, generally speaking, I'm sure it's not true for everybody, but generally speaking, when you're a couple and you share a bed, you use your own, you have your own comforter. You don't share a comforter with your significant other. And I just found this fascinating. It made such sense. So I did a little bit of research. There is a thing, it's called many terms, but I know it by the Scandinavian bed method, or sometimes it's known as the Swedish bed method. I'm sure there's a Norwegian bed method. But basically, imagine you're a couple, you have a bed, a queen or a king size bed. And instead of having one big comforter, you each have your own comforter, usually inside of a duvet cover. And this makes so much sense to me because for many reasons. Number one, my husband and I are not snugglers. We are just not. And I know many people who are not, right? You know, there's a time for snuggling and there's a time for sleeping. And sleeping is you go to your side of the bed, I'm on my side of the bed, and let's just leave each other alone. So that's reason number one. Number two, Temperature-wise, we are very different. My husband, I believe, runs a little bit hot, right? He tends to get warm. I have about a 2 degree temperature range that is my perfect temperature range. I think it's around 65 to 67. If it's hotter than that, then I'm too hot. If it's colder, I'm too cold. So there is that struggle that we have different body temperature types. And the third thing is we are both burrito people. We both like to roll up in the blankets. Actually, there's a fourth. The fourth one is I like to tuck my blanket at the end of the bed. He likes to untuck. So there are, now we have four reasons why it just makes perfect sense for us to have separate comforters. So we've always had the king, and yes, it is a struggle. It is a struggle when you move, you feel it. If somebody pulls, we're doing the burrito, we might be pulling at each other. I don't have enough on one side, maybe sometimes if I like to kind of scrunch it under me. So I bought us, instead of our king quilt that we've been using, I'm going to try using two twin comforters inside of a duvet cover. And I'm just like so excited because I got them today, ordered them from Walmart. I didn't want to spend a ton of money on an experiment because if it doesn't work, it could be out a lot of money. So they're not expensive. They're just lightweight alternative down comforters and cotton duvet covers. So I'm really excited. I will report on the next episode if I remember how that went, but really excited about that. Excited about that. Not excited when I went out to get my Walmart packages with my new comforters and duvet covers. I also filled my bird feeder and noticed that I have a plastic bird feeder. For those of you bird people, it is one of the tubular kinds. So it's like a plexiglass, clear plexiglass tube, and then there are six holes around it with little perches that are attached, so the birds can stand on the perch and eat the food from these little holes. Well, as many people do here, at least in the States, we have squirrels, and the squirrels do like to get into the bird feeders. And I've tried many things over the years. I used to have a similar model to this where, again, the tubular, where it had the little perches were on hinges, right? So if the squirrel is too heavy, the hinge pulls down and it closes the hole. So the squirrel cannot get to the food. This particular one does not have that. The one that I had got taken down, I believe, by a bear. Don't know. Didn't see it, but something completely destroyed that feeder last year, and also bent the iron hook that we had this attached to. So I think it had to be something pretty strong. So I'm pretty sure it was a bear. We have bear around here, black bears, occasionally. I've never seen one here yet, but they're here. Anyway, so I bought a new one, doesn't have the hinges. So of course the squirrels get into it, and I haven't quite figured out. I've used things like Vaseline. This is about grit, people. I know you're thinking, what does this have to do with grit? This is about grit, that I will win the battle with the squirrel. So I've tried on this hook to put Vaseline. Doesn't really work that well. The rain washes it off, or they just can jump high enough, or they jump off the roof and land on the feeder. So I've got to figure this out, right? I've got to maybe get another one of the hinge ones, because we did have that for almost 3 years before it got destroyed by a hungry bear or something. But I don't have that now. And the squirrels do climb on, they hang. And what I noticed today as I was filling the bird feeder is one of those little fuckers has been chewing away at the plexiglass. So what, there are six holes with six perches around this cylindrical, clear bird feeder. And one of them, the perch is now hanging. And I can see where something, a squirrel, a little fucking Rocky the flying squirrel, not flying, but just squirrel, but has eaten like to double this. Apparently, because it couldn't get its little grubby hands inside the hole for the birds. So it decided it needed to chip away at the plexiglass. So basically, it ate a bit of the plastic. So now that this perch is useless. And now the bird seed, the mechanism allowed for the bird seed to kind of fall in there but not fall out. Now it falls out. So little fuckers, if anybody knows any good tips on how to keep the squirrels off, I need to get one of those cones that you put around your pole, but I think they're, I don't know that they'll work on those iron hooks because they're kind of skinny. But I've got to figure out something. I do have another bird feeder that has been quite successful. And again, it's got the spring hooks. So I think the spring hooks are the way to go. But if you know anything, I cannot believe that when I moved to this house, before I got my dog, before my dear Moxie came along, I actually had dreams of being able to feed the squirrels out of my hands, and I would put nuts out for them and got them pretty close. Now I just want those fuckers to go away because now they're literally eating my bird feeder. What in the actual fuck? So yes, it is about grit because grit is tenacity and grit is perseverance, and I'm going to win with these little fuckers. Anyway, that is not what my main topic today is. My main topic came about. I was talking to my friend Corey Joe. Hi, Corey Joe. This morning, and we were talking about the stuff that we did as kids that is just different now. Now that we are grown ass adults in our glory years, how things are just entirely different. We've got a group of kids, mostly girls, that live in our neighborhood. We live in a 25 mile an hour neighborhood in central Virginia. It's, very quiet. We've got a group of girls. There are, three or four of them. And then there's also a boy that I believe is probably the brother of one of the girls because it was just the girls for a while. And now the boy's there and he's a little younger and a little more timid. Anyway, nice kids. And they've discovered rollerblades and scooters and stuff. And we happen to have our road right for probably about a quarter of a mile on either side of my house was recently refinished. So it's nice, that nice smooth asphalt that is just makes it perfect for things like rollerblading or biking or scootering. Is that even a word, scootering? Anywho, just in the context of the shit that we did as kids, I remember when I was probably 10 or 11, the age of these kids, they're somewhere maybe 9, 10, 11. And they rollerblade around. And when I was a kid in my neighborhood, now I lived in the country. So I lived on a country road. It was paved, but it was a country road. And country roads, different surface, but still, there was a point when I was probably 11 or 12 and I got my first skateboard. Skateboards got really big when I was a kid. And I remember doing the same shit, like taking this thing down my road, which was not a nice, smooth asphalt road. It was bumpy because you use that kind of gravel cement asphalt stuff because it's probably cheaper. But I remember riding on the skateboard and I was horrible. I had no balance. It was new and I had no helmet. This was before the times, for those of you, Google it, you youngins. If you can remember, you probably don't remember, unless you're close to my age, a time when nobody wore helmets when they biked, nobody wore helmets when they rollerbladed, nobody wore helmets when they skateboarded. There were no knee pads, there were no elbow pads. It was just risk your life having fun. And that's what we did. And I had a skateboard that I would ride down the road with no safety equipment at all. And I just think, as I watch them now, as I watch these 9, 10, 11-year-olds now on their rollerblades, they are whizzing down. And yes, they have helmets, but they don't have any other protective gear. But they are just living life. There is like no fear, right? And they do fall. The young boy, I don't know, a few weeks ago, they were riding down my neighbor's driveway. We have fairly short but steep driveways, the both of us. And he took a header. He went down the steep driveway and he couldn't stop. And one of the girls kind of put her arm out to stop him. And he ended up doing a little bit of an endo. Cried about it for quite a bit, but then he was okay. He's okay, folks. He's okay. And I didn't intervene because I'm Gen X. And Gen X, we wait, right? It's shake it off. You learn through failure. Discomfort is the herald of opportunity. Failure is growth. So I'm not going to rush over there. There were no adults there. I don't know where the owners of the house were, but they were not coming out. And this kid is just on the ground with his face down, and the girls are around him trying to console him, and he's just crying. And I'm like, if he's really hurt, I'll help. But I'm a Gen Xer, and what we do is we just say, look, shake it off. You'll figure it out and you'll grow from this experience. And the next time you'll learn to use your brakes on the steep hills. But in the context of grit as a youth, I did the same shit when I was that age. I did the same reckless stuff going down a steep hill, no equipment, wiping out, bike accidents, skateboard accidents, rollerblades. Well, at the time we didn't have rollerblades, we had roller skates, but same thing. And so we were talking about this dynamic of how you get to, I don't know how it is for men, because men are full of testosterone, and testosterone just naturally makes you lose fear and sensibility. And women don't have as much testosterone. So, but as we get into our glory years, our middle ages, every woman I know who I've talked to who is in her mid-40s and beyond has said, you get more and more as each year goes, you just don't give a fuck. You don't have any fear. You don't care what you say. You stop being worried about what's going to happen in the world. You know, if I die, I die. It doesn't matter. And yet, I, to this day, right now, in my middle years, I will not watch a scary movie or a scary TV show unless my husband is with me and or it's daytime and I have to watch something afterwards as a palate cleanser. When I was a kid, I watched when I was started reading Stephen King novels when I was probably 9. I read The Stand, Salem's Lot, you name it, non-King books that were scary, Audrey Rose talking about reincarnation and possession. I don't know where my parents picked up some of this stuff, but we had a veritable library of books in a wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling bookshelf in our living room. And some of the, there were a lot of things that were just really scary types of books. Didn't care. I'd read them at night in under the cover of darkness. It didn't matter. Movies. Now, we didn't have a lot of channels back then, but we could get them, right? And eventually we would have videotapes, right? The old videotapes or betas. And so yeah, I had opportunity or in the theater to watch super scary movies. I mean, this is the dawning era of the Friday the 13th stuff. This is the slasher stuff really started getting popular when I was around 10, 11, 12 years old. And I would watch this shit by myself. I would watch TV at home. I would watch Carrie, again, another Stephen King, or Salem. There was a miniseries, Salem's Lot, or this a Frankenstein miniseries. Slasher movies, New Year. I remember going to this movie. God bless my mother. I wanted to go see this movie, New Year's Evil, and it was one of the early slasher movies, and it was rated R, and they wouldn't let me in because I wasn't old enough. So my mom, bless her heart, she was going to just drop me off and do whatever. She came in. I think it was with a friend too. I think it was with my friend, maybe my friend Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Don't remember, but I think, but she came in with us and watched it with us. God bless her soul, because now I know being a little bit older, if she was feeling the way I feel now, where I can't watch this shit, it must have been horrifying for her. Probably horrifying that her daughter wanted to even watch this shit. But it didn't matter. We would do seances with our, you know, we'd invite our friends over and do seances, and we would do the Ouija board. I won't even let a Ouija board come into my house. I am a critical thinking, I think pretty smart, logical person. I will not have a Ouija board in the house. But back then, it didn't matter. We would try to hypnotize each other, put each other in trances, and watch these fucking movies that were horrifying and probably the reason why we are so strong today. You know, at least one of the reasons, because we were subjected. I know a lot of people nowadays would be like, there's no way. But, you know, oh yeah, my 10-year-old can certainly watch a Jason slasher movie. Why not? I used to go to my grandmother's house, my nasty, horrible, abusive grandmother, that I found out later. But anyway, on a story for another day. And that will be a story that we will talk about. But anyway, my grandmother, I used to go over and she, because she had cable TV and she would let me watch like the Jason slasher Halloween types of movies with me. So I, but I don't, but now in my adulthood, I can't do it. My husband loves to watch scary movies. He's always trying to find the next one. And on the weekends, when I go to bed much earlier than he does, he'll go downstairs and he'll tell me about some cheesy, horror flick that he's pulled up. I can't do it. I cannot, and I can't. I can read a little bit, like something that's a little scary, but it's hard for me to do it at night when I'm in bed, especially if I'm alone. And I certainly cannot watch. I can't watch anything that is like scary, like ghost scary. Even though I don't know if I even believe in ghosts, but anything ghost scary, anything like slasher scary, anything like any horror, possession, haunted house, whatever it is, I cannot watch it unless I'm watching it with someone else and there's a palate cleanser afterwards. And if it's at night, it's really hard. I would never in a million years at my age watch a scary movie while home alone at night, even during the day. But I did it when I was 10 or 11 or 12. So what in the fuck is the deal with why on some level do I have feel like I have so much more grit as an adult, but on some level I feel like I'm such a chicken shit and was so much more gritty and ahead of the time when I was a kid. If anybody has the answer to that, will you please, please look me up and help me figure it out? All right, folks, that is it. That is my crazy, not at all about corporate. Thank you, baby Jesus, Allah, flying spaghetti monster, whatever. Because I'm kind of done with it. I'll probably go back, and of course, if anybody has any requests, I'm happy to put out a rant. But right now, it's just going to be a little bit more about everyday grit and fun stuff. So, thank you so much for listening. Again, I'm Beth Ann Campbell. You can find me on LinkedIn, Beth Ann Campbell. I'm on Instagram, The Bean 67. That's THEBEANN 67. Listen to the credits. I'll have some more information. Thank you so much for listening, and never forget, whether you're in corporate or not, whether you can watch a scary movie or not, whether you wear protective equipment when you're riding your rollerblades or not, you are a fucking badass. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Take it easy. Hey, everybody. Thank you for stopping by Cafe Grit, where the moxie is fresh, the passion cold brewed, and everything is served with a heaping side of mojo. For more Cafe Grit episodes, please check out bethanncampbell.com/cafegrit. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving it a rating or review on YouTube, Buzzsprout, or your favorite streaming platform. I'll be forever grateful, and in return, I'll wish upon you copious amounts of bacon, your favorite hot beverage, and of course, pie. I'd love to connect and hear about your grit experiences as well. Please go to bethanncampbell.com for links to all my social media. Cafe Grit is a product of Beth Ann Campbell, LLC, all rights reserved. Thanks again, and remember, you are a badass. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Take it easy.